This morning's message should be secret revealed by Pastor Stan. Pastor Stan?
All those, something years ago. Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I really give God the glory that I made it this far. You know, my grandfather didn't live very long, and as I've mentioned before, my father died when he was 57. So I consider myself on borrowed time now, and I've always wanted to live my life as if I would die at the age my dad did, and to leave no regrets. At everything I could possibly do, I would do, and not wait till later to do it. So, you know, we never know the time we have, right? And yet we have the wonderful assurance that the Lord gives us exactly how much time we need. The wonderful preacher Stephen in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, said of David that he fulfilled God's purposes to his generation, and then the Lord took him. Good. You fulfilled God's purposes. Sense of completion. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful sense? And I pray that that will be the case for you as well. And if you're not born again, you haven't had the privilege of celebrating a birthday in Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you a chance to experience that birthday at the end of the service today, at the end of my message today. And I hope that you do, so that we can all celebrate birthdays in glory one day, right? In fact, I was going to have Robert come up and sing happy birthday to all of us, but not come and sing. So sorry, but I just want to wish all of you heard, not seen, right? But just as our birthdays are special reminders of life that we live here today, likewise, our new birth in Christ is a reminder that our spiritual birth, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ, has already begun. We don't wait until we end this life and then we're going to be born at that time when we enter heaven. We are already born again the moment we receive Jesus Christ. So we can all celebrate our birthday, all those who have experienced placing their faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you do that today if you have not already. And join all of those who have already placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So thank you so much. I have been thinking long and hard, and not really thinking, doing a lot of praying and just a lot of letting God speak to me regarding the direction of our church and what other things he seems to be doing. And we were able to go through experiencing God not too long ago, so I think a lot of us are kind of on the same page on how we sense the will of God. And I would like us to sense that together. Next week, I'm going to do something I haven't done in all the years I've been here. That is, I'm going to dedicate an entire worship service, my talking part anyway, to a vision cast. So I'm going to tell you what's on my heart, and there are lots of different things on my heart, and I'm going to do that during the worship service, during the message part. So I hope you will come. If you have I'll say it, but I got to step back and say, okay, I'm kind of sorry I said it. If you have friends who want to hear this vision cast, then invite them. But I'm not stealing sheep, okay? But anyway, I would like for you to come next week, and I'd like for you to hear what's on my heart. And I hope that you will be able to pray about these things and that we'll be able to affirm this together. But we'll see how the Lord's leading. I received a text this morning from a friend, a good friend whom I've been ministering to. And I've been praying a lot with him over the phone. He lives in California. I've been doing most of the praying for him because he's in a situation, I should say, where he has a hard time seeing God. He has a very difficult time seeing God. Those of you who have been in deep depression understand what this is. So he has a hard time seeing God. He prayed for me over an email today, and it was just really a timely thing. And I, as most of you know, I prepare the message during the week, and I get it in the middle of the week. But I continue to want to hear from the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to say? And then, Lord, what do you really want me to say? And Lord, is there something else you want me to say? Lord, how do you want me to say this? And so my friend this morning prayed for me. He says, I pray that your whole congregation would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would just really allow his work in your life. And I stepped back and I said, Lord, that's exactly what I want. I want your people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wrote back and he says, preach the word, brother. And I wrote back to him and I said, I'm going to preach the word. And I'm excited about that. It's that kind of thing, that kind of interaction that makes me excited. And I hope that in our interaction, my interaction with him, he will be able to see God more and more and more. Seeing God is one of the most exciting things for me. In fact, I'll admit, it is the most exciting thing for me. It happens in the quietness of our lives. It happens in daily conversations. It happens as we're driving along, as the Lord spares us from taking a bad turn. Or maybe we get into an accident and we see the Lord's hand at work even in and through that. We see the hand of God at work in the loss of loved ones. We see the hand at work in our getting an ailment. Not just, more than just being with us when we have an ailment, but God is actually in it. And he is moving us to new places. This was very difficult for my friend because he's going through a separation. He's a pastor in our conference. And he's separated. He lost his ministry. And I've been praying for him and ministering to him. Because a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, everything was in limbo for me, as you know. I stood before the podium here and I said, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And many of you, it was very shaking, a very trying time. And it's at those times when we don't see God. All the things that we preached, all the things that we taught, all of the Bible study we did, and we were wondering, where is God in all these promises? All these things just seem like ink on a page, and that's about as far as it seems that God goes. But really, it's and my journey with my friend really mirrors my own journey, that I journey with people in a way that I understand that journey. And I know, I share this because God has given you a journey. God has given you the highs and lows as you've walked the terrain of life in your life. And your path is going to cross with other people, people who are journeying along, who are going to hear the kinds of things that they need to hear from you. What are the things you're going through? What are the, not just the highs, but the lows? In between times, the real stuff of life, when we step back and we allow the Word of God to sink into our lives and then it brings forth fruit and then we see, okay, God, what does that mean in this world? What does that mean in this world? And those are the kinds of things that really I enjoy doing the most. Someone asked me this past week, Sam, what do you enjoy doing? Oh, was it last week? And I said, and I was having coffee with this person. And I said, this right here is what I enjoy doing the most. Sitting down with people and talking with people. Because it's here where we can connect and we can talk about the stuff of life. What's happening in your life? What's happening in my life? Where is God in all of this? That's the big question. That's the biggest question, and we're going to get into a question that one of the disciples, his name is Philip, said. And he said, Lord, speaking to Jesus. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. With Philip, no matter what else happened at this point, he says, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And we're going to talk about the mystery, the secret revealed that Jesus revealed regarding Philip's question. But I find, as I've ministered to a lot of different kinds of people, that when people's eyes are open to the presence of God, everything else fades. And the most important thing in their own life is being touched and reached and satisfied. And that's the story that we're talking about today. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Jesus and the privilege of certain disciples to go up the mountain and see the transfigured Jesus and see the glory of God shining through Jesus. Even Moses and Elijah were standing there, and they were transformed too. They were standing there in glory as well, showing us the kind of glory that awaits us as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And not perfectly, by the way. Moses and Elijah were not perfect people. Amen? Amen? They weren't. You look at their lives. But they wanted to follow Jesus. And so there they were standing in glory. They came down the mountain and encountered a demon-possessed boy. And then Jesus had some teachings on people who wanted to follow him. And then he sends out the 72 into the communities around that region of the Sea of Galilee, all over the place. 72 people. 70 or 72. I don't even know what to say. I'll just say 72, okay? I'm kind of locked on 72. So if it's actually 70, please forgive me. So 72 people going out into the community and sharing the gospel two by two. There they go. Now, when I say two by two, I know a lot of you are automatically locked in. Oh, the Mormon missionary or the Jehovah's Witness, right? Please do not think that Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses originated the two by two. They did not. Okay? It started with Jesus. So let's make sure we go back to the source. And that's what we want to do. We want to hear our Lord Jesus Christ and his own command. And he said, go out into the communities two by two, stay at a particular place, and when you find a place that's pronounced peace on this place, if they accept your peace, if a man of peace is there, then stay there. You will provide spiritual blessings. They will provide material blessings for you. And you have this divine covenant of a partnership, if you will, that allows you to work in that community, to be effective in that community. And turns out the disciples returned rejoicing. But not everyone was rejoicing. Not every town rejoiced. And that's where we're going to pick up our time together. And as we get into our scripture, look in your Bible, Luke chapter 10, verses 10 through 24. Luke chapter 10, verses 10 through 24. These secrets are, I will say, deceptively simple. And so we're grateful that we get to see all these things today, because the disciples did not get to see it, and many people did not get to see it. But now it's revealed to us through God's word. And so now we have an opportunity to look back and have these secrets that are actually revealed to us. And that's what we want to embrace. We want to embrace the reality that Jesus has given us certain secrets of the kingdom. And they're no longer secrets, but now they're proclaimed all over the place. Let's see what we can embrace together. Amen? Father in heaven, I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit really would give us illumination, that it would allow our hearts to be tended well so that the seeds of your word would, as it scattered on our hearts, would be, the seeds would find soil that is necessary for good, healthy growth, and that your word, Lord, would spring up and be fruitful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. (Clears throat) As I mentioned, these being able to see God is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, that I think God is after, that I think Jesus is after in all of what we're doing. So as he goes out into the kingdom, let's see what these secrets are that he tells his disciples. These are the kinds of things that I'm doing in the world. Number one, if you have your notes page over there, number one, the kingdom of God is near to everyone. Can you write, take out your pencil and pen, just write in that blank, everyone. The kingdom of God is near to everyone. And I'm going to add that it's even near to those who reject Jesus. It's even near to those who reject Jesus. So the disciples went out into the world, and they went into the villages, and they preached the gospel, and then now there's a certain summary, if you will, that Jesus is doing. If we can look in Luke chapter 10, and we'll just look at verse 11. Luke chapter 10, and let's look at verse 11. Let's read that together. Ready? Ready? Go. Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. Now, this is interesting. Jesus has done this before. If a town rejects you, you don't have any place to stay. Shake the dust off your feet. That's a sign, if you will, that even the dust is going to be washed off. That's going to be kind of like the dust being washed off away from the kingdom. But he says this, but know for sure that the kingdom of God is near you. So here's the question. Why does Jesus say this? Why is this even important? Because he goes on to say, I will tell you in verse 12, I tell you it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. So what he's saying is that whether you accept Jesus Christ here and now, know this, that the kingdom of God is there waiting for you. And if you continually reject the kingdom of God, after all of these efforts, after it's near, it's always there, and you continue to reject it, then it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day. So as we understand, the town of Sodom, we're not even sure where that is. There are many towns actually in the Bible. We're not actually sure where that is. So we're kind of guessing that the town of Sodom might be somewhere in the Dead Sea area. But we're just kind of guessing. So that's a town that was destroyed because of certain kinds of sexual immorality and various kinds of sins, pride and that kind of thing. So he says there's something worse than even the sexual immorality that we might think is really bad. That is rejecting the kingdom of God. There is really nothing worse than rejecting the kingdom of God. So he's saying it's more bearable on Sodom on that day than for those who reject the kingdom of God. Now, when God is all over the place, it's like you don't have an excuse now, right? If God really isn't here and he doesn't see what we're doing, then we have an excuse. But one of the things that I like to help me understand that God is all over the place is this. Now, I love cosmology. I love science. I've mentioned that before. I love physics. It's just that I'm not smart enough to be into physics because you have to have all these equations and things like that. But I love cosmology. I love thinking about the universe. And when you think about it, we used to have these discussions with Micah, and we used to go out to dinner, and we'd be talking about the universe and cosmology on the way to dinner, and then we get to the restaurant, and we talk. Micah's sitting across from me. We're talking about space and time and warps and all of these kinds of things, and then Amy and the other kids are there listening, and then we go home, and we're still talking about cosmology. And then, that's how much I enjoy that. I just love it. So when scientists, and I always loved it, and after I came to Christ, I loved it even more because everything made more sense. So when you think about it, let me take you out into space, okay? Go way, 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 way far into space. Can you think of anywhere in space where you cannot see a star? No. As far as the universe is, we can see. Why can we see? Because the light comes to us, right? A light from a really far star, even if we can't see it with our naked eye, you magnify it and you can see it. And so let's say you go out way out into in between some galaxy, okay? You get on the Millennium Falcon and by the way, if you're not watching Star Wars, that's the famous ship, okay? And you go zoom into hyperspace and then you go, boom, let's stop over here, boom. There's a 7-Eleven nearby and you stop for a drink and then you say, let's take a look. Ah, there's nothing here. Is that true? No. Not to mention that you're there. But really, if you see a star, that means there are photons coming from that star all the way to you and hitting you in the eye. Isn't that true? It's hitting you in the eye. Okay, well, maybe that photon's not going everywhere, so you move 1 inch to the right. If you move 1 inch to the right, are you going to stop seeing that star? No, you're still going to see that star, right? What if you move 1 yard to the right, a little farther? Will you see that star? You'll see that star. What if you move a mile? Will you see that star? Yeah. Now, how many other stars will you see? A lot of them, right? So what we think is empty space is really filled with photons. There isn't anywhere you can go in this whole universe that's not filled with some kind of light. Now connect that to some kind of a Bible verse that you might be thinking about, okay? I'm just going to leave that with you. I'm not going to unpack this for you. Let your mind wander. That's the kind of thing I do when I'm just kind of sitting around. So everywhere we go, and the Bible actually talks about this, Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide in secret places so that you cannot see him? Do not, so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. In Isaiah 6:3, he says, the prophet says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Not just God can see you. He's holding you fast. If I say, surely the night will hide me and the light become dark around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for the dark is as light to you. God sees everything. Can you imagine these verses coming from prophets who didn't even know anything about cosmology and science and quantum mechanics? Can you imagine that? God is telling us, I am there. I am near. Now, these are things that the Jews should know, but tend to forget. And because of that, God pronounces warnings upon these cities. The city of Chorazin and the city of Bethsaida, which is mentioned in verse 12 and 13, 14, those cities lie in ruins today. Jesus warned them that out of rejection of the Lord, you're going to be, your whole town is going to be wiped away. They're still in ruins today. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. I want to offer this one to you. And I'm going to wrap it up here because this is such a powerful verse. And if you come away from this service saying, I want to memorize this verse, I encourage you to memorize this verse, Acts 17, 26 and 27. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. From one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. The ending of that verse is, he is not far from each one of us. And why does God place us in the particular places we live? Whether it's an Eskimo living in a valley somewhere in Alaska, or a pygmy in Africa, we never see a missionary. And we ask ourselves, God, how can this person become a Christian if you never send a missionary to them? He doesn't need a missionary. Now, I don't want to say that when missionaries are here, but if missionaries are taught properly, they would know that God doesn't need a missionary. Missionaries are merely participating with God's work in unveiling and revealing God to people. So here's what we're looking at. Wherever people are located in the world, the Bible says that that is the best place. That place gives them the best chances of seeking him, reaching out for him, and finding him. God is not far from any one of us. From the moment we're born, from the time we draw our last breath, from that moment between consciousness and eternity, God can speak to us. As he's spoken in dreams and visions and angels and in any manner of supernatural interception of what we believe, of what we can understand, God is there. And what does he want out of that? He wants us to seek him, reach out for him, and say it with me, find him. God's purpose is for us to, say it with me, find him. There might be somebody who has a better chance of knowing Jesus Christ for that particular person as somebody in Alaska, than somebody who's living in the Bible Belt in the United States, where most people have a dozen Bibles on their shelves. So let's not worry about that person. Let's allow God to work in our midst. Let's allow God, to be who he's going to be and reveal himself. If you don't know the Father today, through Jesus Christ, Jesus said, this is a secret of the kingdom, one of the secrets of the kingdom. Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Longing after God is at the core of our being. Everyone longs somewhere after God. And we wonder, how do we find God? We cannot find God on our own. It is impossible. God lives outside of creation. The only things we can explore are things in creation. God had to come into creation and reveal himself to us. That's what he did through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, if you have seen me, Philip, you have seen the Father. And we can have eternal life today by accepting Jesus Christ. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Because it's through Jesus Christ that we get to know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if you just pray this prayer, pray, Lord Jesus, I want this eternal life that comes from knowing you. I want to begin today. Forgive me of all of my sins. I receive you into my life, Lord Jesus, that I may have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, God comes into your life. And God says, by simple faith, accepting Jesus Christ into your life, you get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I would like to welcome you into the family. So if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask, come up to me afterwards or come up to one of the elders and let us know that you received Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing these secrets to us. Lord, help us to have eyes that see, ears that hear, so that we can see just how great you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.